Welcome to Saints History, told and experienced the way God intended it, with excessive amounts of alcohol and cursing. The booze is probably bourbon because...
Other alcohols are for rich women on diets.
Now, here's your drunk Saints History host, who is...
bombed out of his gourd.
Alright, Andrew, it's happening. Drunk Saints History, the people wanted it. And they delivered. I am on drink number 5 of Elijah Craig bourbon. I can't recommend it enough if you want a smooth bourbon. But basically, we got to get into this because I am nearly 2 sheets to the wind. Andrew's drinking to join in. So we're going to do...
Yeah, this is my fifth beer, actually. Yeah.
So this... We're starting off with Ditka because 97, 98, 99, the Ditka era... A lot of people that are under 25, like, they don't understand what it was. But the Dick era, Andrew, it was fun. It was a clusterfuck of just, like, nonsense and insanity. But it was fun, right? But I think the thing that's interesting is I want to start...
Well, it was fun at the beginning.
It was awesome at the beginning. But I want to start with 96 because Mora got fired and... We'll play the sound of Mora getting fired.
Just got our ass totally kicked. We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. The second half, we sucked. We couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball, they went down and got points. We got our ass totally kicked in the second half. That's what it boiled down to. It was a horse performance in the second half. I'm totally embarrassed and totally ashamed. Coaching did a horrible job. The players did a horrible job. We got our ass kicked in that second half. It sucked.
And so people just heard that Mora just like lost his mind. And he resigned, quote unquote. But basically, like, he lost his shit. And the Saints were like, dude, you got to go. But the reason why I bring up Mora, Andrew, is because... Like Q Herrick, who was the general manager, he's one of those people. You have one of those people at your job, right? They're not like good at their job, but they're good at like politics and like keeping their job. And you don't understand like why does that person have a job? Q Herrick was great at that. And the thing that he did was he fired Carl Smith, which made the fans like super pumped. Because Carl Smith was like, I don't know how to just, like, was he like the Steve Spagnuolo, like, we blame the defense now, but in like the 90s it was like all Carl Smith's fault, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was the conservative play calling. And now remember, at the time, not only did the Saints get Ditka, but the new offensive coordinator was the beloved Danny Abramowitz.
Yeah.
So to go from Carl Smith, who was basically like the Rob Ryan of the time, blamed for their failures, you know, to get a former beloved receiver who, you know, at the time I would say Abramowitz was only second to Eric Martin for second best receiver.
Yeah.
Or best receiver in Saints history.
Yeah. And the thing that was fun about Q Herrick was, like, they fire, like, Mora wasn't the coach, right? And they fire Carl Smith. This is my favorite part, and I forgot about this until today when I was doing research. Is Bill Q Herrick, he wanted to make Chet Franklin the head coach. And the Saints were like, who's Chet Franklin? Does he even work here? It would be like the Saints firing Sean Payton and being like, we want to make Terry Fontenot the head coach. Terry Fontenot is the pro personnel director of the Saints. Like, it was crazy. Like, the Saints, they fired Mora on a Sunday night. And for like 3 days, they were like, we don't know what we're going to do for head coach. But... So they fire Mora, right? And this is the brilliance of Q Herrick, which I give it to him. Like, his contract expired at the end of the year, and he, instead of like going to LinkedIn and like brushing up the resume, he was like, I'm gonna help Benson out and I'm gonna get the coach hired. And he realized, he like interviewed Spurrier, I forget the other big name that they interviewed at the time, but he was like all in of like, I gotta get a big name to save my job. And he got Ditka. And Andrew, people were pumped about Ditka. Like,
pumped.
Like,
pumped.
Like, let's not lie and like do revisionist history. Like, people were pumped because it was 85 Bears.
Like, I was pumped.
And Ditka, we was like, Ditka's going to come in. He's going to, like, change it around. And the thing was, like, the first sign that Ditka, it was going to go bad, was like, Ditka's like, I want Heath Shuler as my quarterback. And everybody was like, what? Like, Heath Shuler's terrible. And the Redskins are, like, dying to get rid of him. And that was like a first red flag.
It was, but I will say people were so pumped about the draft. Like, you got to remember, when with Ditka's first draft, he went with a bunch of big name guys. So, you know, they get Chris Naoli, who was the guard.
Remember too, Ditka did what we at the Saints Happy Hour have been begging the Saints to do. Like, they were the number two pick. And they went and they traded with the Raiders, and they got they traded down to 10. They got another second round pick. They got a wide receiver, Darryl Hobbs, who had caught 80 passes in 2 years, and were like, that's pretty good. They need a receiver. They got another second round pick. This is going to work out good. And the Saints were like, look, nobody's there at number two worth taking. We're trading down to 10. So everybody was like, this draft is cool. But the 97 draft, Andrew, oh my God.
Well, it turned out to be bad, but there were three things that happened late in that draft. I think, you know, early in the draft, everyone was like, Chris Naoli, who's this guy? Okay, well, at least we got a draft pick. At least we traded down and we got a player out of it. But they drafted Troy Davis. And I don't know if you remember Troy Davis, but out of Iowa State, I think he was the leading rusher in college football that year.
He was.
And I know he was in the Heisman race.
He was small and he was slow. The Saints 97 draft was whiter than Trump's cabinet. They got Chris Naoli. They got second round pick Rob Kelly. Imagine Von Bell with no instincts and no athletic ability. That was Rob Kelly. But Rob Kelly was ahead of his time. He had some awesome tattoos. Like, he was way
ahead. And great hair. Don't forget the wavy hair.
Yeah, like, he was way ahead of his time with the hair and the tattoos. And then, I mean, maybe one of the worst second-round picks of all, Jared Tomich. Like, oh, my God, he was terrible. And then they picked Troy Davis. And then Danny Werfel, fourth round.
The Heisman Trophy winner.
The Heisman Trophy winner. Who Ditka's out there betting the media in the press room. He's like, Danny Werfel's going to be he's going to be picked in the first four rounds. And then Ditka picks him in round four.
Yeah.
And then
Well, here's the thing, though. I think a lot of us felt like, well, we're nervous about Shuler, but at least we have Werfel if things go south with Shuler. I think that was kind of like the contingency.
And then they had Keith Poole, who he caught a lot
probably the best player in the class.
He caught a lot of 50-yard bombs. Like, Keith Poole, like, that's all I remember from. And then Nikki Savoy, LSU guy. But that draft was bad. But the interesting thing was, like, the Saints in free agency that year, they got Jerry Fontenot. You know, so, like, people were pumped. And here's the thing about the 97 Saints, dude. Like, Heath Shuler, you have said you think he's the worst quarterback in Saints history, and he was
bad. Player.
Worst player. Like, but his quarterback year, like, the 97 Saints are, like, unspeakably, like, their offense was unspeakably bad. Like, Heath Shuler, he had two touchdowns, and I want to say he had him in the Detroit game and didn't throw a touchdown the rest of the year. So, like, the Saints 97 team was, they were so bad on offense. Like, they couldn't run the ball, they couldn't really block. But they were fun because people don't remember this. Like, their defense was really good. Like, they were the fourth best defense, and they weren't that high in points because their offense was so bad. They were always turning the ball over, so their points totals were high. But that defense, Andrew, was good. And here's the
they were fun.
Here's the crazy part about that defense, dude. How many sacks do you think the Saints 97 defense had? Just take, like, a guess.
Well, they had Leroy Glover, who totaled a ton.
No, he didn't get good. They found him in the middle of the year. He didn't have a ton, but he had 6.5.
Okay, okay. So that was his first year, right?
Yeah.
I would guess they had 50 sacks.
They had 59 and a half sacks. They had Wayne Martin at 32, who is, to my money, the best, the most underrated Saints player of all time, maybe. He had 10 and a half. Joe Johnson, 8 and a half. Mark Fields, remember Mark Fields?
Yeah, of course.
The last good linebacker of the Saints. He had 8. Leroy Glover had 6. And this, Brady Smith, the old defensive end.
91.
He had 5. And this is maybe the craziest stat of all, as I like 6 streaks in. If I told you Alex Molden had 4 sacks, what would you think?
He's a lot better at blitzing than he is at anything else.
Dude, the 97 Saints, they played the 46 defense, which is basically like blitz like crazy. But the fun part of the 97 Saints was like Zaven Uralian, who like never went on to do anything else after he defensive coordinator with the Saints. But like him and Ditka were like crazy. And he, like Ditka, when they played the Raiders, who had Jeff George, like, Ditka pulled out a money clip during the game and, like, paid Zaven Uralian, like, $500 because Zaven Uralian was like, we're up 13-10, and I'm going to blitz until Jeff George turns over the ball. And Ditka's like, $500, you got it. And they did it, and Ditka pulled out the money clip while the Saints are in victory formation and paid him $500. I mean, Andrew, dude, that would break Twitter. If you're going to go 6-10, you might as well have the coach with the money.
Oh, Roger Goodell would suspend you.
Dude, his head would have exploded. But, like, that was the Saints. Like, they were fun. And, like, they beat the Raiders. They played the Seahawks, and the quarterbacking was so bad in overtime. Winford Tubbs.
All right, let's go quickly through how the season, because you're all over the place, man. But first of all, okay, so, you know, to kind of remind people, so Shuler's the guy, and the mindset at this point is, okay, God, like, I think he's going to be horrible, because he was awful with the Redskins. But Ditka really believes in this guy, and they gave him a big contract, so let's give him a chance. And he is horrible in the first game.
Like
if fans can like picture how bad Cam Newton is on his worst days with accuracy, we've all seen those games where Cam Newton's just way off and he's missing receivers by 20
feet. I'm trying to think of a quarterback to describe him to in the last like 20 years.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's just like bad Cam Newton in terms of without the running ability.
But so
Shuler can't hit the broadside of a barn. And he throws 2 picks, and they're playing the Rams, and it's completely out of hand. And so Werfel comes in. You know, he's the starting quarterback. You've just given him all this money. He's your guy. You're getting blown out in your first game of the season.
5
and
turnovers.
And you've already made a switch. And so Werfel comes in and throws a touchdown pass. And
He's the guy.
Yeah. Well, you see Shuler next to Ditka. And they exchange a word, and you see them both giggle. And you're picturing in your head, you're like, so I still have the job, coach, right?
Yeah, the next week.
So the next week, you're like, who's going to be the quarterback? Like, are they going to give it to Shuler again? And Shuler comes in, and Werfel doesn't play a snap. So, Werfel threw a touchdown pass. But somehow Shuler got the job back.
You forgot about Jim Everett, who was the quarterback for the Saints the year before, come back. He plays for the Chargers and does, like, the not a crotch grab, but, like, the crotch focus when he throws the second touchdown to, like, seal the game. And Dick's face is, like, red. And then they play
Shuler plays that whole second game. He throws 3 picks.
Yeah.
No touchdowns, and Werfel never sees the field. So at this point, the Saints are 0-2, and Shuler has no touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
Here's the fun part. This is the Saints' first three games. They lost 38-24, 20-6, 33-7 to San Francisco, who was good with Steve Young at them. They had 5, 6, and 8 turnovers in the first three games. So they're just fucking terrible. And then the fourth game, they beat the Lions 35-17, and Mario Bates runs for 150 yards. and Heath Shuler throws for 200, and you're like, hey, what? Maybe it'll work out. But it won't. Dude, Heath Shuler, his 4-5 in that season, he throws 2 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, and his interception percentage is 6.9, which is ridiculous. Dude.
Well, I remember the Saints offense just being god-awful. But, you know, they kind of won a couple games early in the year, and you're like, okay, maybe this is it. Maybe they'll rebound. But the low point was when they're 2-5, you know, and they're just coming off a win. So you're like, okay, maybe they can get on a run here.
And they
get shut out by the Panthers, and they get shut out by the Niners.
And they
back-to-back games.
And that was the thing.
Zero points.
The thing with the Saints is they hadn't been shut out since, like, 1982. So that was, like, the one thing is, like, the Saints may suck, but they never get shut out. Because they had Morton Anderson and all that. But, like, then they get shut out back to back. Like, the San Francisco game, they didn't cross midfield till the fourth quarter. I was there. And I was like, Ditka after the game was like, we're benching Werfel because we don't want him to die. Like, that was it. And the defense is still good. But here's the funny thing about the 97-17. Like, Ditka. Like, they lost to Atlanta and were 4-8, and Ditka, it, like, broke him. He's like, I don't know if I'm the man for the job. Like, maybe they need to get somebody else. Like, the offense for the Saints had, like literally, like, it broke Mike Ditka. Like, people think of Iron Mike and the SNL skit. Like, it broke him. Like, Andrew, is that fair? Like, it broke him. Like,
yeah.
He was a broken man. But the funniest thing about the 97 Saints was, you know, they're just terrible on offense. And they're at that point, they're fucking desperate. So Billy Joe Hulbert is a quarterback for the Bills, and he's starting or whatever. And Buffalo, I don't even remember what happened, but they cut him. And the Saints bring him in, and he played against Carolina, and they won the game 16-13. And, like, here's the thing.
He looks good.
Like, I wouldn't say. Well, he looked good compared. Like, he looked good.
Yeah, we were going to hang on to anything at this point.
He was 14 of 30 for 190 yards and interception. He had a rating of 50.
Like I said, he was really good.
And they were like, he's really good. Like the Saints can, like, complete a pass. This is fun. But I remember they played Arizona the second to last week of the year. And Billy Joe Hulbert, it might have been the greatest game of his career, Andrew.
Yeah, he lit him up, right?
He lit him up. He was fourth. Listen to this. If at the time, it
now, Arizona that year was terrible.
They were terrible. But at the time, I remember in the post-game show, Buddy D. And by the way, the media and Buddy D, because Buddy D had done a show with Mike Ditka at the casino before Ditka was even the coach of the Saints. So Buddy D was all in for Ditka. Like, when they fired Mora, Buddy D was like, I'd do a show with Ditka. He wants to coach again. The Saints should hire him. So, like, the media was totally placated. I remember Buddy D was like, the Saints, I think they might have found their quarterback. Like, that's how excited we were about Billy Joe against the Cardinals. And I want to he went 14 of 24 for 252, 3 touchdowns and an interception. And Andrew, you can tell me I'm drunk, which I am because it's drunk Saints history, but it felt like a Drew Brees versus the Patriots in 2009. Like,
well, I think it's important to remember at the time, like, 300 yards was, I'm not going to say unheard of,
but
it was pretty uncommon.
So, like,
if your quarterback was throwing for over 250 and 3 touchdowns, I know that's, like, a bad game for Breeze now,
but it was big.
But back then, that was huge.
It was big.
Yes.
And we were like, oh, my God.
Especially when your offense was getting shut out in back-to-back games.
Yeah, so we were like, oh, my God. Like, the Saints might have stumbled upon a quarterback going into – like, but seriously, like, that's how we felt. Is that not fair? Like, we felt like the Saints have stumbled upon a quarterback – and Daniel Bramwich, we like him. He's running trick. They ran a lot of trick plays that mostly backfired. But we were like, hey, they're running reverses. They're running flea flickers. This is fun. Their defense is the fourth best defense. They have 59 sacks. Like, 98 is going to be awesome. Like, it's going to be fun. But the thing is, with the Saints going into 98, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, like, think, like, the Saints now, like, they always have a plan in free agency. They bring a guy in. If they bring a guy in, like, if they want him, he doesn't leave the building without signing. Like, Jarris Bird, when you saw that he was flying to New Orleans, you're like, it's a done deal. Mickey Loomis is not going to let him leave the building. But, like, Kuharik, and, like, in the mid-90s, like, teams didn't know how to run free agency. Like, the Saints, like, totally fucked free agency in 98. Like, they let Winfred Tubbs leave, who had 120 tackles and was just, like, the heart and soul of that defense. Now, granted, Winfred Tubbs was a guy who was injured all the time, and in 97 he wasn't injured and was awesome, and he signed with the 49ers for big money and went back to being injured. But he left, and the Saints, like, is it fair to say they panicked, Andrew? Like, they panicked, and they signed Drakeford, and they signed Kevin Mitchell to play middle linebacker. Like, they didn't know how to do free agency. Is that fair?
It's fair.
And, like, here's the thing. Like, Kevin Mahway was an LSU player. He's a borderline Hall of Fame guy. I think he made the final cut this past year for the Hall of Fame. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. Like, he wanted to play for the Saints. Like, he was like, I'm an LSU guy. I played for Seattle. Like, I want to come home. My parents are in Louisiana. I want to play for the Saints. But Ditka was like, all right, I'll have a meeting for you. I'll have a meeting with you, but it's got to be at 6 in the morning because I have it 7 a.m. tea time. And Kevin Mahway was like, what the fuck? And, like, that was the Saints in free agency. Like, they just didn't know what the fuck they were doing. So, like, yeah. 98, they lose Winfred Tubbs. They don't sign
I actually ran into Kevin Mahway in Baton Rouge, and I asked him about that. And he told me that this is straight from the source. But Kevin Mahway told me that he never seriously considered the Saints because as much as he wanted to come home, he wanted to play for a winner.
Yeah.
And he just never believed in Ditka. Like, he, and maybe part of it was that experience of
maybe the guy wants to, the guy won't meet you at a decent hour because he's got a tea time. Like, maybe, yeah. I don't know, maybe not. So the Saints, like, totally botched, like, 98, but by going into the year, they had found Sammy Knight, who was an undrafted free agent, who was just – the funny thing about Sammy Knight was he was ridiculous from day one. Like, he was picking off balls. Like, there'd be, like, a pile of, like, nine guys, and Sammy Knight would come out with the ball, and you'd be like
– I mean, I'll put it, like, in recent Saints fan terms. Like, the only thing I can compare it to is if you guys remember Darren Sharper that one year.
Imagine
– like, the Saints get an undrafted rookie, and after a couple weeks, they're just like, well, we got some injuries, our guys kind of suck, you're starting. Undrafted rookie free agent guy, you're starting at safety for us. And then he's basically Sharper for, like, 5 years after that.
Yeah. It was
incredible.
Sammy Knight is my mom's
favorite. Minus the whole
raping,
you know, off the field
drugging
stuff.
Sammy Knight is my mom's favorite player. My mom, when I was like, she's like, I want for Christmas, I want a Sammy Knight jersey. Because he like, so
he was
so
fun.
He was fun. So they go.
He
to
was the most fun player of this era, honestly.
Me, yeah, probably. So they go to 98, and they're like, we got the quarterback, we got Billy Joe Hobert, and we're going to make some additions. But here's the fun thing. Like, the 98 offseason is fucking bonkers. So they sign Andre Royal. And to celebrate, Andre Royal gets shit-faced in the quarter and gets arrested after signing his 4-year deal with the Saints to play linebacker. And weirdly, they had a guy, Terry O'Neill, who Ditka knew at NBC Sports when he was a commentator for their pregame show. Terry O'Neill, he brings him with him. And Terry O'Neill, like, instinctively, like, for whatever reason, like, gets the salary cap and, like, understands, like, the back in the early, late 90s and early 2000s, teams, like, they were kind of sort of figuring out. They called it, like, the poison pill, where you would, like, sign a guy, but a team could match the offer. But, like, a team would, like, sign the – make the offer to, like, give the guy a giant bonus. Or,
are you talking about Plan B?
No, I'm talking about, like, Chad Cota. The Saints signed him. And the Saints were like, if he gets two interceptions, he can void the deal, and he gets, like, a $3 million bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So Carolina was like, that's crazy. We can't match it. So the Saints signed Andre Royal, who – got arrested at a strip club. They signed Chad Cota, and they had their quarterback. So people are feeling pretty good about
this. Don't forget they got Lamar Smith, a running back,
who
had killed someone, right? Who had gotten a vehicular manslaughter deal because he was drinking and driving.
Yes,
you know, he had pulled the Dante Stallworth, and so I think for the rest of his life, like part of his penalty, like somehow he got out of it, but his penalty was, or maybe he just like his passenger was paralyzed, but he was on the hook for the rest of his career. Half of his earnings had to go to the guy that he paralyzed. Yeah.
So, but they got him. But he was good. He was good for Miami. He won Miami a playoff game later.
Yeah. And he was terrible for Saints. It was another Heath Shuler.
Yeah. So, the Saints, like, they go into 98. And people, they're, I mean, the optimism for going into 98 was palpable. And Ditka was so, like, they had a feature of Ditka in Sports Illustrated where, like, Ditka, like, bashed New Orleans. Like, it's dirty, it's filthy, it's kind of disgusting. They need to clean up the city, it's too much crime. And people, like, flipped out. Like, if it would have been social media, like, people would have crucified him. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated with, like, the cigar. And, by the way, thanks to Michael, Dean, and John, who all emailed me a PDF of that article and were like, we know you're doing Drunk Saints History. We're pumped about it. Here's some, like, research material for you. So I was like, thanks guys for that. So I read it before the show tonight, which was cool. So they do that in 98. And like 98 seems, and like Billy Joel, they come out and they play the Rams again. They play the Rams. They open the season with the Rams.
Well, hold on. Have we talked about the hazing yet, or does that come later?
No, we got it. You're right. We got to talk about the hazing.
Yeah, okay.
Oh my God. So Andre Royal, like, decides that, like, they need to haze the rookies. So he gets, like, a bag of quarters, and, like, the rookies have to, like, run through the line, like, down the
hall. Yeah, they have to run the gauntlet.
They have to run the gauntlet. And Andre Royal is, like, too into this. But, like, here's the fun part. Like Jeff Danish, who is, like, a undrafted rookie free agent, he falls out of a plate glass window. The second story. And he would have fell to his death, but they had a balcony. So he didn't die, which is just unbelievable.
But he needed like 18 stitches.
Yeah, he needed like 18 stitches. And he settled like out of court for the Saints for like a pretty large sum because he's like, you almost killed me. Like, but like Cam Cleland, who the Saints got in the draft, who, because Ditka actually stumbled onto a pretty good draft that year. They drafted Kyle Turley, who was really good. They drafted Cam Cleland, who would have been good if he was in. And he actually caught 50 passes. Like, he got beat so bad with the sack of quarters. Like, didn't he have, like, a detached retina or something?
Yes, Andrew? He got hit in the eye, and it detached his retina.
And this is all in August, like, training camp.
Yep.
Like, I cannot imagine this, like, with social media, Andrew. Like,
So this is the free agent, you know, Andre Royal, that you just talked about.
Yes.
So he gets arrested,
yes,
you know, right after his contract. Then he's beating up rookies. He almost kills one by throwing him out the window.
Oh.
And he beats another one over the head with a bag of quarters and detaches his eye.
And he got in a fight with Ditka.
Yes.
He said he had a head injury and concussion. Ditka accused him of faking a head injury. And they trade him to. They end up trading him to the Colts.
So, and this guy was so sick. So Royal, you know, he's been causing all these problems. So the Saints unload him.
Yes.
And Royal was so sick that he had the sack of Danny Werfel when he played with the Panthers the previous year. Royal was with the Panthers the year before, and he hit Werfel so hard.
I think he killed him.
That Werfel's helmet. I mean, it almost seemed like he decapitated him.
I think he did. But
Werfel was looking out of his ear hole of his helmet because his helmet got twisted somehow, and so he gets up and his helmet is like twisted on his head and he can't see. There's a Royal before he left. Once he was traded, got a photo of Werfel looking out his ear hole. And he left it in his locker as a parting gift before he left, into Werfel's locker. Just to let him know, like, hey, buddy, I'm leaving, but just so you remember, this is what I did to you.
I almost murdered you. Yeah. So the Saints go into 98. We'll wrap up 98, and then we'll get to 99 for part two. But 98, they 97, St. Louis kills them in the opener. They go back to
No. Yeah, okay, go.
They go back to St. Louis, and Billy Joe Holbert, and the Saints destroy. They're up 24-3 in that game, and Lamar Smith is running wild. The Saints run for 200 yards on. Lamar Smith looks great. They're throwing the ball. Billy Joe Holbert looks great. Billy Joe Holbert, in the fourth quarter when the Saints up 24-3, drops back, ruptures his Achilles. He's not touched. And after the game, the Saints win.
And we as fans, we all know it's over.
It's 24-17.
Yeah, but we know the season is tough.
Ditka, after the game, you know, most coaches are like, next man up, it's going to be fine, we're going to fight through it. Ditka is in fucking tears after the game. He's like, I found my quarterback, and he got hurt. I don't know what we're going to do. We're fucked. I'm sorry. He was my quarterback. I don't know what we're going to do. So, the Saints, they go back to Werfel. And they win the next week, 19-14 over Carolina, and they're 2-0. And they have a bye. And then the next week, they go to the Colts, and they play Peyton Manning, who's a rookie, right?
Yep.
And it's Hurricane George, and it's chaos. So the Saints, like, fly up to Indianapolis Tuesday. And the Colts are up, like, 13-12 with, like, a minute left. And they punt the ball, and the Saints get it at their like 4-yard line. And you're like, there's a minute left. They're at like they gotta go like 90 yards. Like it's not happening. But fucking Danny Werfel, probably the highlight of his. Is it fair to say his highlight of his career?
Oh yeah.
Like he drives the Saints down, and they win. He hit fucking Cam Cleland. He hits Andre Hastings for a 15-yard pass with like 4 seconds left. And Andre Hastings makes a ridiculous catch. And the Saints tie the game at 13, and they go to overtime. But in overtime, it gets better, Andrew. This should be like a Disney Hallmark religious movie because Danny Werfel is religious. He hit Cam Cleland on the first possession overtime. 33-yard touchdown. Cam Cleland rambles into the end zone, and the Saints are fucking 3-0. Like, on the unbelievable scale, the 1998 Saints starting 3-0, it has to be, like, on the Saints' ridiculous scale, like, in the top five.
But I still feel like so the Colts were winless at that point.
Yeah.
So that I mean that was a team they were supposed to beat, and I remember so going in the following week, and I went to this game. I remember it vividly. The Saints are 3-0, and they're hosting the New England Patriots. Yeah. And I'm at the game, and the temperament, you know, at the time, remember the 49ers were the best team in the league.
Yeah.
Or one of the best teams, and they were in our division. And we never had a prayer against them, and we knew that was going to be a loss. So the feeling was we've got to find a way to beat New England, because if we lose to them, we're going to be 3-2. If we can beat them, then we'll be 4-0 going in against the 49ers, and we have to assume we're going to lose that game. And this game was deflating, man, because the Saints played a great game.
They did.
I mean, it was seesaw back and forth. The Patriots were a very good team, the Saints tied the game on a Doug Bryan field goal with about a minute 30 left.
Yeah, and the fun thing in that game was New England punts to the Saints with like a minute 30 left, and New England, you know, like when you punt the ball.
Oh, that was right, the Andre Hastings return,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like when you punt the ball, like if the team that punts the ball, if they usually like down the ball right at the 5-yard line, but the guy for New England, like, he touched the ball and it was like rolling on the ground, and Andre Hastings like knew the rule, like if the team that kicks touches the ball, the return team can pick the ball up and run it back, and even if you fumble, you still get the ball. So Andre Hastings like picked it up, and New England didn't know what the fuck was going on, and Andre, he almost returned it for a touchdown.
Yeah, he got caught from behind.
But of course, the Saints had Danny Werfel, so they couldn't move the ball. But they kicked the ball, they tied the game, and it was deflating. The next week, Andrew,
but you knew. But in the stands, you knew that Drew Bledsoe. You're like, man, that guy's big time. You knew he was going to go down with a minute 30 left and beat the Saints. Yeah. And sure enough, they marched right down the field, got the field goal to win the game.
So the Saints, the next week they lose to the 49ers at home 31-0. But then they bring in Billy Joe Tolliver, and they win 9-3 against the Bucs. And then they bring in Kerry Collins, who the Panthers had cut because he
was a drunk.
He was a drunk, and he called the he dropped the N bomb on a teammate, and they're like,
"Oh, that's right."
Yeah, he dropped the N bomb on Musheen Muhammad, and they're like, "Dude, you gots to go." And the Saints at the time were like, "We don't have a quarterback. We don't care that you drink. It's
He's racist. He's racist. He's drunk. Can he complete a pass, though?
Can he complete a pass? Yes, he can. We'll take him." So the Saints claim him, and he's like, "I don't want to go to New Orleans." Ditka, credit to him, is like, "I don't give a fuck what you want, buddy. We need a quarterback. You're coming." So the Saints have Kerry Collins, and Kerry Collins is like, good. The Saints beat the Rams. They get to 5-5. They go out on a Monday night, San Francisco. Kerry Collins still looks good. And they're like, they're 6-8, and they go to Arizona, and they lose a heartbreaker in Arizona.
Heartbreaker.
Like, they get ahead, and like, I want to say Mark Fields, like, fucked up a coverage, and they lose 19-17. And that year, like, remember, like, I know you're thinking, well, 6-9, whatever, but Arizona goes 9-7.
That they were in the playoffs. Yeah.
Arizona goes 9-7, makes the playoffs. If the Saints would have won that game, they could have beat the Bills, got to 8-8, and gotten the playoffs. And Arizona went to Dallas and won a playoff game. So, like, the Saints, even though they were 6-10, they were kind of, like, in contention. It was a fun year. But in the offseason, of course, the Saints, fuck it. They don't re-sign Kerry Collins. Like, Billy Joe Hulbert, his Achilles is shattered. They're fucked. So, like, you're going into year 3 of Ditka, right? And the Saints were like, it's going to be year 3. He better win or they're going to fire him. But Benson extends him. And everybody's like, what the fuck's going on? But hey, you'll have to listen to part 2 of Drunk Saints History. Me and Andrew are going to go through 1999 of the Ditka era. And as Andrew, you think 97 and 98 were crazy? 99 was just, oh my God. 99 is
bonkers.
It's bonkers. So you'll have to listen to part 2. Until then, thanks to everybody. We'll be back.
Thanks to all of our Saints Happy Hour listeners whose donations made Drunk Saints History possible. Until next time, remember, surviving Saints history is hard. That's why God made alcohol.